Okay, the boys, so today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. We're holding roughly a third down the Amud where it says Ahi Sabta, roughly 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Ahi Sabta is a story which is a follow-up on the halacha of Rav Nachman that we learned yesterday. So let's take a quick look at Rav Nachman said yesterday, starting from the second line from the top of the Amud, Tanura Banan, a Sukkah Gizula, a stolen sukkah. Are you yoitzer? Machloikas Rebbeleiz and the Chacham. Rebbeleiz says poisel. Chacham said it's kosher. What is the case of the sukkah gezula? Amir of Nachman. The machloikas is v'shetoykif es chaveray. Yankel is sitting comfortably in his sukkah. Reuven comes and he schleps them aros and he says gates aros from sukkah. Reuven now sits in that sukkah. It's a sukkah gezula. Are you yoitzer? Reb Lezer says no. Chachamim say yes. But Rav Nachman says Avol gozel eitzim. Now about 12 lines from the top of the Amud, gozel eitzim besichech bohen. What happens if someone stole somebody else's wood? He took that wood and he used it to go and build the sukkah and make the schach on the top of the sukkah. Divri hakoil. Everybody would agree that the sukkah is kosher. Everybody agrees that this guy is a bad guy. He does not deserve shlishi, not shishi, and not maftir. Avadi, he's a bad guy. And Avadi is a gazlan. And Avadi's got to go and pay. But Lemais, if he went and built the sukkah is kosher, and yoytza the mitzvah. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
If somebody sits in another sukkah without his shoes,
yeah,
is he yoytza or not?
No question.
And you're sitting in somebody else's sukkah without rishus.
You don't ask him anything. You go in there and you make a broch and you eat there and you don't ask any questions.
Are you ask
a sukkah or not?
I don't think that's a sukkah zula.
You didn't take it away from him. I understand that you're being a lawyer now, but just the question is, are you yaitzer or not?
It's told in the machlokes of Blazer and the Chacham of yesterday. Right, according to Blazer, you have to go and eat in your own sukkah. You would not be yaitzer.
To say, look, if you bench with somebody else.
According to me, even if he has shoes, it doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Anyway, lemaisa. So the gabi gozel eitzim zichek behen. Everybody agrees. Engloi ella demei eitzim, and it's a kosher sukkah. You yoytzi your mitzvah. So now, remember again. Someone stole somebody else's eitzim. He built a sukkah out of it, and then people eat in that sukkah. They're yoytzi the mitzvah. Gemara tells us a story. Ahi Sabta. There was an elderly lady, Dasoy Lekamei Rav Nachman, who came in front of Rav Nachman. This is the same Rav Nachman that we just had now that said that Gozel Eitzim Mesichah Behen, it's kosher sukkah. Omrele. So she said to Rav Nachman, Reish Kalusa Vekul Rabbanan Debei Reish Kalusa. The Reish Kalusa himself and all of his Talmidei Chacham, all of his Rabbanan, they're all sitting with Sukkah Gezula HaVeYasvi. They're all sitting in a Sukkah Gezula and they're not Yoitzer. Now why did she say that? Zogt Rashi, because the Reish Kalusa is Avodim, as we know many times in Shas, it says that the Avodim from Reish Kalusa were not always the Shenst and the best dimension. They stole from her Eitzim, and built a sukkah with her eitzim. And therefore she's saying, Chevra, you're sitting in my sukkah, in my eitzim, and you're not yoitze. That's what the Sabta was screaming.
But different than Rav Nachman.
She's screaming to Rav Nachman. So of course, he shrieked. Lo yashka bar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, didn't you learn the Gemara which you just learned now? Because she didn't, because the women didn't learn Daf Yoimi. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, we just paskin now that Gozel eitzim v'sichah behen, it's kosher yoyoytze the mitzvah. So that she's screaming, Pesukah Gzula, Stak Emes, they're sitting in Sukkah Gzula, maskim, but the mice of the yoytze the mitzvah are from Sukkah. Omrelei, so now she said to him, you're not listening to me, you're ignoring me, it's a v'li ashkechba, you're not listening to me, it's a dehavali avua. You don't know my yichus. My yichus is I'm a bas acher ben from the heilige Avrum Avini, with last meyer betamni sri avdei, that who had 318 avodim. As we know, it says in the pasuk that Avrum Avinu Yilis Veisai had 318. And Rashi says it's Kaminyan Eliezer. Everybody knows the famous Rashi. But the point is, I had a Groiza Elta Zeda who was very, very choshev. That was Avrum Avinu. 318 Avodim. You're not even listening to me. You know, this reminds me of a famous story that they say that after the war, someone, Ayid, came to the Satmar Ruf Zatzal and gave him a kvittel, said hello. And the Satmar Ruf said, Veyman Zentir, who are you? So he wanted to be a little bit cute, and he said, I'm an Einikol of Avrom Avini. So he said, from Velchavab. So he asked him, from which wife of Avrom Avinu? That was an Einikol of Avrom Avinu, but which wife is, who is the mother? Anyway, getting back to our Gemara.
Wait a second.
Yes, Rabbi Cohen, I knew you'd have her on that. Yeah.
Because it said, we call Bayitzot Zohar. In other words, it's only going to be the male.
Exactly.
So it can't be from anybody except coming from.
From sorry, Maino. That probably that was his answer. The story ends over there.
You think that's what the Satmar Ruf had in mind?
Yeah.
Fool? You think that's what the Satmar Ruf had in mind?
You can't just get cautious on a joke.
Let me get back to it. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Tzavcho kamayichu, she continued screaming, and Vayter of Nachman did not bother listening to her. He ignored her. After a while, Omulahud of Nachman, said to the assembled, Pe'isahi, she's a shrier. She's a person who screams a lot. Duh, this lady. Don't worry about your being Yoitzim Mitzvah of Sukkah. You only have to worry about that the Reish Kalusa should go and pay her back at Meyetzim. But you're Yoitzim the Mitzvah without a problem.
He wasn't a Berash, the woman yelled at him. He had a wife who yelled at him enough.
We'll get back to that shortly. It looks like Rav Nachman, of course, Paskin the Halacha correctly, Lishita, sorry. It looks like he's a little bit cold-hearted towards this lady. We're going to get back to this in another moment. But that's the end of the story. So now, what did Rav Nachman pass? By the way, as you know, Rav Nachman was the chassid, the menesia, the chadban of the Reish Kalusa. So therefore, since this is a story about the Reish Kalusa, it's not surprising that the Shaila came to his desk, because he had to go and paskin for all the affairs of the Reish Kalusa. And he said, it's not a problem, you're yoitzim with the sukkah. And you got to pay him back, yeah, but you're yoitzim with the sukkah. Omer Ravina. So Ravina now, L'chayra, adds to this halach, and he says, Hay kishura dematalalta, digzula. What happens if someone stole a kishura? Kishura means not just eitzim, but a large beam, and used that for his sukkah. Avli rabbanan takanta mishim takonis meirish. That's the famous takonis hashovim, or takonis meirish, which is that we want to incentivize people to become bali tshuva. And if we're going to tell them that you have to go and restore and return the original thing that you stole, it may not be so easy. Like we said yesterday, you have a contractor or builder, he stole a few beams and he put it into the first floor of the Empire State Building. Go and tell him now, you'll only be Yoitze Tshuva if you take out those beams and return it. He's going to go and say, I'd rather not be a Baal Tshuva because it's going to cost him millions and millions of dollars to go and demolish the Empire State Building, take out those two beams, and start again from scratch. So therefore, there's a special Takonis Hashem, Takonis Meirish, which is that you do not have to return the original stolen goods. All you have to do is give the Dmei Eitzim, you have to pay what the value is. So Ravin is saying that the same thing applies to a sukkah gezula, meaning not that the sukkah was stolen, but this kshura, this beam that was used to build the sukkah, avdi rabbanan takanta mishum takonis meirish, and you do not have to go and return it, you only have to pay the value. Freit Gemara, pshita, what has Ravina been machadish maishna mi'eitzim? We just learned Rav Nachman yesterday. We just learned Rav Nachman today. He's saying the same thing. Every marmada say me'eitzim shchichi. By eitzim I would taki go and say that since it's a dover shchiach, we go and tell the nigzal. It's taki not nice what the gazlan did. But you nigzal, you could easily get replacement eitzim. Just go to the lumber store and you can get eitzim in a moment. Aval hai, but a big beam, like shchicha, that's not so easy to come by. Because a beam, of course, is a ganz heavy product. Now, naturally, we think today of there's all the stores and all the factories have big inventories of beams and lumber and all that. They have lumber yards, but presumably in the good old days, this is something which was made to order. A beam is not just a small little Helzala, that's a grace of beam, and maybe you had to order it 3 months in advance to get something like that.
Why do you think Marty give that answer? The shot is that in Takonis, we pronounce it Merish.
Merish,
so it said there you'll destroy a whole building with tzach. You just take it off, and that's the end of the get out.
We're going to talk about that in a moment.
But that's a difference between the two.
All the Gemara is asking at this point is, what is Ravina more machadish than Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman already told us yesterday, and we already reviewed it this morning, mit the masa, mit the sabta, that if theft was just eitzim, you don't have to go and give back the eitzim.
If that was good, this is
certainly... But the point is, once you give, you don't have to. Once Rav Nachman established, you don't have to give back the original goods. All you have to give is the value and money. So the same thing applies between eitzim, between beams. It's the exact same thing. Zog Dimara, nay. I'll tell you why. Mao, the same eitzim shchichi. Eitzim, we tell the nigzal, because of the takonis meirish that we want, that this person should do tshuva. He'll give you the $100, the value of the eitzim, and you'll go and buy a new eitzim. Avadas atercha, no question about it. But this is the takon of the chachamim to go and incentivize bali tshuva. Aval hai, lo shchicha, to get a beam, maybe you have to wait 3 months, maybe you have to go and travel from your shtetl all the way to the Grosse Stutt, to Budapest, to Paris, to New York. Not so easy to go and get these big beams. So I would go and think, Ev, Shanish, Ey, Moloi, we go and say, because of his takon, I don't want to have this Grosse Tircha. No, it's not a problem. The same halacha applies to beams as it applies to eitzim, and we tell the nigzal, here's the money, you go and buy a new beam. But now, this is very important. Hani mili begoy shiva. All of this applies during the yontif of Sukkis. Avlabasa shiva, once the 7 days are over, then he has to go and give back the original material. In other words, Igmar is telling us something which is very, very simple and very straightforward. We gave an example before about the Empire State Building. Avada, nobody wants to demolish the Empire State Building to take out the one beam on the first floor. Vada. But everybody knows that every sukkah is eventually going to be demolished. When? A week, as soon as Sukkot is over, right? Okay, after Hoshana Rabbah, you have to go wait until after Simchas Torah. But eventually you're going to dismantle the Sukkot. So when he dismantles it, let him pay back the Eitzim, or let him give back the Medish at that time. And the Gemara says, Einach Hanami. This whole story that we're saying that you don't have to give back the original Eitzim, you don't have to give back the original beam, if the person is insistent in the middle of Chol HaMoed, I want it now! Then we say, now forget about it, takonis meirish. However, if he's willing to wait a week until after Yom, then you get a beina, no problem.
But so, honey, if he gives back the money during Sukkot, does he get his money back? Does he still have to give the beam back after Sukkot?
No, once he's gotten paid, he's gotten paid. So, in other words, we tell the person, have a little patience, come back in a week from now, you get back your original goods. If you insist that you have to have it now, I'll give you a check, I'll give you the money now. And then you do have to go and give it back however, what happens if he didn't go make a temporary sukkah? This is going to be a permanent sukkah for all generations. He went and cemented it to the ground, because then it becomes like a regular house, a regular mansion, a regular building. We have the Takoras Meirish that you don't have to go and return the original goods once he cemented it to the ground. So that's the end of this sukkah. But before we continue on, the Ksav Sofer explains, now I understand what was going on with the Masa, with the Sabta, and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was trying to have Rachmanis on the Sabta. He knew that the Sabta wanted back the original Eitzim. So when she came in the middle of Chol HaMoed and said, it's a Sukkah Gezula and I want my Eitzim, Rav Nachman said, let's not go and be done the Din Torah now. Let's wait until after Yontif. After Yontif, we'll be able to give her back her Eitzim. And she said, no, I want the Din Torah today. I wanted my money now. I want to get back my Eitzim now. Ich bin doch ein Einikel von Mavrum Avini, that 318 servants, I want it now. So then Rav Nachman said, "These are Shrier. Let her wait a few days." No, I don't want to wait a few days. Oh, if you don't want to wait a few days, I'm sorry. Ein lach ela demei eitzim buvat. And that was the reason why he ignored her, not because he's being unfriendly or being discourteous, but rather he wanted to go and push her off a few days that she should come back after Yom Tov, and then he'll be able to get back the Eitzim. I want it now, Shrying. Shrying, he's there, I have no choice. She's only going to get the money, she's not going to... It's very nice now.
Shine.
That's why I'm sharing it with you.
Otherwise, the it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Yeah, let's talk to you.
The Takonis Meresh, wasn't that... it seemed that when we added it here about the beam, that it also had different parameters, like afterwards you had to give it back. But beforehand, we never had that concept. I mean, but
we didn't talk about it. This immediately applies to the previous Gemara too. In other words, this that is the difference between during Yontif and after Yontif applies to the Eitzim, applies to the Beam. It's all the same halach. Continuing on, now we finish with this Sukkah Gzula. We got involved in this because we had Lulav HaGozel, and now we go to the second halach of the Mishnah, where it says Lulav HaGozel V'HaYovesh. Aha, Zokti Gemara Yetz, Tana, we have a Braisa. Yovesh is Pasul, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Now, that Yovesh is Pasul, that we already had in our Mishnah. But the question is, this Braisa doesn't say what we are talking about. Apparently the Gemara knew that we're talking about the Arba Minim. In other words, they weren't concerned that we were talking about Chas Shalom, Sefer Torah HaYovesh, or something else. But the question is, it doesn't say in this braisa what we're talking about. Are we talking about a lulav? Are we talking about an esrik? Hadas, maruvas, shteinish. Shteinish, there's a machloikis yovesh, pasul, b'yuda machshir. It's omer rova. So rova, now who's the amoira, comes to be mafarish, the braisa. The machloikis is by a lulav. Why? The rabbanan tzavri makshin lulav esrik. Ma esrik boy hoder, af lulav boy hoder. Rebuta sava loy makshin lulav esrik. Av the esrik to be a koil hoder b'yiran. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara is saying is v'chayra something very, very straightforward. Shteitachem pasuk lekachlam lecham miyayim arishoin priyetz hoda v'kapois temorim. Priyetz hoda is referring to the esrig. It's got to be hodar. But by the kapis temorim, it doesn't say v'kapois temorim hodar or hadurim or hadurois. It just says v'kapois temorim. So now how do I know the kapis temorim has to be hodar, that the lulav has to be hodar? Zokti Gemara, Zokti Rava, that's the machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these two words together, the priates hodar together with the kapis temorim, is the chasimim that is a hekish. And just like the esrik has got to be a priates hodar, the kapis temorim also has got to be a kapis temorim hodar. That's the Zokti Rabbanan. My esrik boy hodar, Rav lulav boy hodar. Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm actually a little bit. Ichalnish from the hekish. What do you mean a haltnish from the hekish? Explains Rashi, because hekish is not the type of thing that you can make up on your own. Hekish is something that you have to have the Kabbalah. And a beautiful said, Ichonish is that Kabbalah. Comes a kalvachoyim, a person can be done a kalvachoyim be'atzmai, but you can't be done a gzeira shava or a hekish be'atzmai. If you have a kabbalah, there's a hekish, and fine, anish, you can't go and shtel too just because two parishes or two psukim are together. If there's a pasuk that says Mechashef Olei Sechaya, and the next pasuk says you have to bring a Korban Pesach, you can't go and say, oh, a Korban Pesach, it's a Tzinah Pesach Mekishev. I mean, they're two separate psukim.
If this is a, like a kind of smuchim, which are Yudah, like a dozen dash. Smuchim only in Mishnah Torah, if I remember.
I think it's the other way around. In Mishnah Torah, dash, nish, in the Rosh
Hashanah. Oh, yeah. So then he would say it.
Yeah. Anyway, but this Yudah says,
so this hekish has nothing to do with smuchim.
He didn't look
it's nish. Close one to the other.
It's as close as it can get. It can't get any closer. Otherwise, it would stip a line in the other word. you see, if you look at the third wide line all the way in the bottom of Rashi, all the way in the bottom, third wide line, loy makshin azok Rashi, loy hukshu lil moid zemizeh, v'loy nitin lidrosh me'atzmai mikol yud gimel midrashat toin in the Rashi's behen elekal v'choymeh. From the ala shloishes amidis v'en inzra Rabbi Yishmuel, you can't go and decide on your own, I'm going to go make this trusha, that trusha, akal v'choymeh, yeah, but a hekish gzereshov, other things you cannot make on your own. Anyway, so Rebuta says, Yichonish Azamin Limud, and therefore a lulav does not have to be hodar, it can be yoshan, it can be old, it can be yovesh, not a problem. Okay, as they zokti more. I'll be esrik divi hakul, but when it comes to esrik, hodar be in a shteitach and posik, priyates hodar. So now the Gemara is going to ask a series of kashas on this rava, and at the end, it's going to be tiyufta de rava tiyufta. That's what we're going to have at the end of the Gemara. But before we get to that, the Gemara is going to ask a series of kashas. Number one. Ubalulav leboy Rabbi Yehuda hodar. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require hidur. But that's the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda oimer yagdenu melmalo. We had this in the Mishnah at the beginning of our perek. We learned the other day that what happens if you have a lulav where the alim are nifridu. Or Rashi said nifridu doesn't mean that they fell off. Just means that they started spreading out. Just like all the lulavim, if you leave them on the trees for another few months, they start spreading out. Nimra Pincha said that he had such a lulav not on the tree, but after a couple of months, it started turning into a broom and started spreading. So Zokter Bihuda, when you see such a spread, What you got to do is you got to go and tie it up. It has a kind of like nice kesher lush, just like we put the kshorim on the outside of the lulav. Put a kesher on top to keep the leaves together attached to the spine, to the shedra of the lulav. Now, fregechach, my time alam mishin the boy hada. Probably the reason is because it doesn't look nice otherwise. It looks coming like a broom. So you see that imuted after chiyom adin fin hidur. So tomorrow like nishkarai. The reason over there that Rabbi Yehuda requires Yagdenim al-Mala, totally different reason. Kiliktori Tzayimah, Shteitach in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda and Mishim Reb Tarfin, Kapois Tzimorim. What's the lashon of Kapois? The word Kapois is like the word Kofus. Kofus means that it's tied down. So normally when the leaves themselves are naturally tied down, meaning like our regular lum, where the leaves are not spreading, then you don't have to tie it specially. It's naturally tied down, so to speak. However, if you see that the leaves are beginning to spread and to come out, then you have to go and do kofus. You have to tie it on your own. Okay, but nothing to do with heaters or to deem it kapois kofus. Vim hoya porit enochanami if attack was spreading your cup sen. Frank Timavalai boy hodi telling me that a beauty doesn't require hidu but tanachadach nocha mishnah. Ein oidinus alulav elabem minoi. If you want to do agad on a lulav, like we do our agad that we put the three minim together, you can't put around it a nice blue and yellow ribbon. You have to go and use b'minoi, and that's what we use always from the lulav. We manufacture, we make either those keshelach or the ksharim around it. B'mina, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. My time, what's the reason? Mishnah de boy hada? Probably the reason is because if you use any other min, it doesn't look nice. It looks much nicer if it's part of the lulav. If you go and use the ribbons and this and yens and bendelach, psasot nishka kazin. Don't we see that Yehuda requires hidur? Nothing to do with that. The Amar Rava afilu besiv vafilu beikra de dikla. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could use the ksharim. You could make it even from siv. What's a siv? Rashi says that's a form of the bark, that's a spongy bark that's on the
that's
outside.
Part of the it's minoy. It is.
Oh, it says mamish is minoy. It's an ishtos oishen going and using as a bark around it. It's not hidur. Vafilu beikra de dikla. You can even use from the vortzlin. You can go and take from the roots of the dekel tree. Again, of the palm tree with the lulav tree, you can use those. So what do you see? What's the reason why? Elamai time der bihuda hasam because sava lulav tzarech agat because he holds that lulav requires agat. Because talking about big machlekes. V'maisi min achron. If you're going to go and bring another min, you're going to go and use something else other than the min of the lulav tree. Havlu chamisha minim. Then you're going to be putting together an additional min, and the teira zoktach arba minim and not chamisha. You have a problem with baltoisif. So therefore, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda requires the agad, the minoy, has nothing to do with hidur. It has to do with a chshash of chameshes minim, of bal toisiv. And that's why he says, l'moshla, you can use siv and ikra de dikla, which may not even be that pretty, but l'mais is from the same min of lulav, from that lulav tree. Oh, so nothing to do with hidur. So the kashas that we asked from lulav, we were doicha. Frank Timor will be esrig me by Rabbi Yehuda Hadar. I'm going to show you that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even require hidur by esrig. He doesn't require hidur by esrig. But Titus of the Braisa, what's in the Braisa? Just like you now let it go and use three minim, you now let it use five minim. What happens? Like must esrig. What happens if you don't have an esrig and it's kumtiyomtiv? Don't take a replacement. Exactly what a parish is, basically is a koronia, all the way in the Vatakwash of the koronia is. But it means don't use a lemon, don't use anything else, you gotta use dafka and esrik. You don't have one, but don't use anything else. Kemushin are kshaded. Yevashin are psulim. Kemushin means if they're beginning to shrink and to shrivel, they're still kosher. But yevesh, if they're totally yovesh, totally dried out, like if you leave your esrig in the esrig box for next year, like many people do, you take it out the next year, you see it's as hard as a rock and it's dry mamish to the core.
Also.
Much smaller, exactly. Now, there is a mid-period. In other words, if you go and check on your esrig Hanukkah time or so, you'll see it's not as hard as it will be a year later, but it's already beginning to shrivel up and to become smaller. So as long as it's still kamushin, it still has a drop of lachus, it's still a little bit moist. Even though it's shrunk, still kushin. But once it's totally dry, then it's possible. Again, we're talking about an esrig. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Yevashin. I'm sorry, it's not so obvious. We'll see in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Yevashin, that even Yovesh is also kosher. The Tanakhama said Yevashin are psulim. Rabbi Yehuda says Af Yevashin, they are pasul. V'yom Rabbi Yehuda. I'll tell you a story. Maaseh b'nei krachim. Shoy marishin es lulaveim l'vnei b'neim. B'nei krachim explains Rashi, people that live in urban cities, and it was difficult for them to go and get a lulav because they didn't live in a place where there were lulav pardesim. They didn't live near palm trees, and therefore they weren't able to easily get hold of lulav.
Somebody lives in Alaska.
Awesome. They don't live next to orchards or next to, they don't have palm trees, they don't have lulav trees, so how are they going to go and get it? So of course today is the ganze business, but at that time it wasn't easy. So he remembers, says Rabbi Yehuda, b'nei krachim, they used to go and give birusha, their lulav and l'mnei b'neim, to their einiklach. If they're giving it Yerusha, that means at least a year later, if not 20 years later, by that time it would certainly be yavesh. So therefore, zoktach Rabbi Yehuda, I have a rai that Yevashin are kosher. It's Amru Loi, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, with all due respect, Misham rai, you will not bring a rai, ein shasat chak rai, you're telling me that people, b'nei krachim, that cannot get lulavim, it's impossible for them, and then they use an old lulav. But avada, if you can get a fresh lulav, a yavish is possible. Anyway, that's fascinating. But Ketani Mias, what does it say in the Brayse? Yehuda Omer, Af Yevesh and Ksheirim, that even Yovish is kosher. My lava Esrik, aren't we talking about an Esrik? Now, why would the Gemara assume that we're talking about an Esrik? Because right before that, we said that Loi Motze Esrik, Loi Yovi, Loi Frish, Loi Yerimoy, Loi Dover Acher, and then we said Kimushi, Ksheirim, Yevesh, Psum. It's all a Choyra, Beneshima Achas. Aren't we talking about Esroigim? We're saying that if you don't have an Esrik, don't go and take an apple or a pomegranate or anything else. Don't take anything else. And then we add, by the way, Kimushin, if they're beginning to shrink, they're kosher. If they're yovish, if they're dried out, they're posel. Rabbi Yehuda says, even Yevashim are kosher. So l'choyer we're talking about an ethic. Okay, but he just mask him. Ginta, but this state is clear. You'll see for the Gemara says. Akitani mi es Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Yevashin Ksheir. My lava Esrig. Aren't we talking about Esrig? And therefore, I have a rai that Rabbi Yehuda holds even by an Esrig, it doesn't have to be hadar. He's not talking about Esrig. So even though the previous cases that we were talking about, if you don't have an Esrig, don't bring the Parish and the Rima and the Dabaracher, stop, two dots, new shtickle. What happens if you have a lulav, which is kamush, then it's no longer fresh, fresh, fresh. It's already beginning to dry up. It's not totally dry yet. It's a week after Sukkot, 2 weeks. Kosher. It's still kosher. Yevashim one is taka, totally dry. If you leave your lulav until Pesach to go and burn them with the chumetz and erev Pesach, by that time you see that they're already very brittle and they're easily breakable. So that's the Seishin Yavish, this is possible. But Ein Echadami, that's the machloik, you're not talking about. It's right with the lulav. And it's not such a doichik teretz, because after Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Yevashin, v'am Rabbi Yehuda Mas v'nei krachim, she'im arishin es lulav v'ayam l'vnei v'neim. So he's bringing a raya that his yavish is talking about a lulav. Shai nishka raya that we're talking about, you're talking about a lulav. Zeyafah, shai, nishka felach. Okay.
But what's the pshat b'shas al tchak? I mean, if it's possible, it's possible. I mean, that's kasha, I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Unless you would say a svara that maybe people shouldn't forget the mitzvah there.
The Gemara is going to use such a svara shortly. Okay. About to say, Oh my God, k'shem shein kach so this l'choyr has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to come back to Rabbi Yehuda Mir Tashem. I'm sorry, we're going to come back to Rava.
This is totally new zach now. You
what we're saying now?
Yeah.
No, we're now going back on this brisa, and we're continuing to focus on the words of the brisa. We're going to come back to Rava shortly. Remember, Rav is the one that said that the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is related only to lulav, but everybody agrees by Esrig it's got to be hodar. So we're going to be hodar Allah, we're going to return to this shaila shortly. But in the meantime, yahadun Allah. But in the meantime, we're going to go back to this brisa. And what does the brisa say? Omamar, kishem she'en poichsen mehen, kach ein moisif en aleim. Just like you're not allowed to take 2 minim or 3 minim, you got to take 4 minim. Don't take 5 minim. Feitimor, pshita, what's the chadish v'shteitzach? Everybody knows, it's dinner about tigre, about toysif, avada. Now to say, mahoyo vi omar bihuda, lulav tzorech agad, lulav. That's what we had a mute on the Amud Aleph, that a lulav has to go in the Agad, you have to go and tie it with the other two minim, the hadasim and aruvot. The maisi min achrina. What happens if you were to bring another min in addition to the lulav, the hadasim and the aruvot? You
brought the Agad,
and you brought another min, but you did not tie it up in the lulav bundle, but you held it separately, but you held it together with the lulav bundle, together with the esrog, you held another min. I would say haylechudekoy vahaylechudekoy. Each one is separate. Each one is individual. By the fact that I didn't put it in the lulav bundle, I was showing that I'm not being mitzaref it to the arba minim, and therefore maybe I'm not over. To go and take a silly example, when a person is walking around the arba minim, he's doing the hakufis around the shulchan, the bima. He goes with a sitter in the hand. Are you going to go and say, oh, five minim, he has to get a lulav mit an esrog mit a das and a ruvis? He's carrying a sitter. The sin is not part of it. So I would think the same thing. If he goes and takes with him a branch from another type of tree, or he takes a banana. Oh, Zayigit, he's holding a banana. The guy went taka bananas, but lemaisa it's not tied together with the other three. Kamash v'lan nine. Even in such a situation where you do not tie it together with a lulav, also is a problem of chameshes minim k'shem shem poichsin ein moisif. Okay. That maybe there'll be a period of time where people cannot get esrogim for one or two or three sukkahs in a row. There's no esrogim growing in that area.
During the war,
exactly. And I said even during the war. You know, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there's such a rachvis, and you can go and ship with planes and with ships and all the rest. But in the good old days, it wasn't easy. You had kehillas in Europe, famous kehillas, they only had one esrog for the ganskol. For all 100 people, everybody only used one esrog. Not because the people were stingy or they were cheap, you couldn't get esrog. So the story is, the Gemara is telling us what happens if in fact there's a sukkah, there's no esrog whatsoever, don't take anything else. Pshita, Gemara seems like you should go and take a lemon or something else. But don't forget that there's a din of esrog. People shouldn't think that you only need three minim, you need four minim. Because what's going to happen is, if a few years people are going to go and use something else other than an esrog, then in later years they're going to have moichre esrogim, and somebody, a wise guy, is going to go and say, I don't need to go and take an esrog. Esrog is so expensive, I'm going to go and take a pomegranate. People say, pomegranate, not yoitze. What do you mean? I have a picture of Ma Zayda, Langebuden Pius, he's carrying a three minim on one side, a pomegranate on the other side, and a shokum, and ich bin ich frimme wie der Zayda. If it was kusha for him, it was kusha for me. But of course, the reason why the Zayda did it, because there were no esrogim. Yeah, guy mit zel mas, and da ba ba, bisan am uretz, and abikoyres man, that even erlich bin die. Shai. Anyway, bottom line is, We have a problem, says Yimoy, Zim Denofik Chorbinei.
What is it?
Zim, because at times, Denofik Chorbinei, a Chorbin will come out of this. You meant it, Latoiva, that people shouldn't forget Toyris Esrig, and that's why instead you took a pomegranate, but it's going to be Punkt Vakert. Asla Misrach, people are going to continue to use pomegranates in future years. They're going to say it's much cheaper and much more Motsui than an Esrig, and therefore they're going to say, if it was good enough for my chief rabbi, it's good enough for me. But they don't realize that the reason why it was good enough for the chief rabbi, because it was no esrog. Okay, Toshabat. Esrog ayoshin bosel. If you have an alta esrog, we don't mean an esrog that's sleeping, we mean an alta esrog is bosel. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Oh, now this is crystal clear. This brisa doesn't use any euphemistic terms. The shteinish ka'arba minim. Shteitach esrog. What does Rabbi Yehuda say about such an esrog? As is kosher. Zeymen doch klur that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog does not have to be fresh. Even an alte esrog is kosher. Tiyifta de ruva, tiyifta is ruva den ganzen ugefreit.
Freit him. How old is old?
Right. Yoshan and Yavesh are two different words. The Gemara switch.
You're right. But Gemara is using them as synonyms.
Because if it's old, it's dry.
Okay.
It's Matzias.
Now, the Gemara doesn't go into what the shear is, but there's a toisus earlier on in the beginning of the parak that says Yavesh means that it's already brittle, that it's falling to pieces. Okay, so
if you could take away Esther and refrigerate it for a long time, so it comes out, it's anachinami, it's last year's crop, it's an old crop, it's old, but it's still
locked. I understand what you're saying. If you look at the.
But Lulav, there is a machlokes like this, that Lulav could be 1 year old, is considered Yashar, and that's it.
If you go, there's a toys in Chof Tes Amid Beis, just look for one short second, don't be too nervous. The top toys is Lulav Yavish Pasul, Mefarshim Marmish, and the Iskish Lulav Esrik, etc., the Rashi, the toys, we spoke about that. Now the question is, what is the definition of Yavish? If you look the last two lines of toys is, then what's the din? The Yosef Meshulam, Oime Yavish, Chitain, Nefreches, Bitsipoyrin. Something which is so brittle that if you go and pick at it with your nail, the thing starts to fall to pieces. That's the sheer, it's brittle. It's brittle. That's talking about, I agree. It's only talking about Lulav, it's not talking about Esrik. Esrik is that it's lost
Esrik
its.
Esrik never happens like that. 100%.
You can go and pick at it and back at it. It's not brittle.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, Rabbi Cohen wants to share something with us. Let's hear. Okay. We haven't heard anything yet from Rabbi Cohen yet today. Let's hear an insight.
Everything you have here by dates, okay?
Everything by dates, yeah.
That's a lot of books. You should show Gimu Yomer. Don't laugh without washing, okay?
Yeah.
Slate.
Right.
Black and white, okay?
Right.
Years ago, they used to take meat and put it into plastic bags,
right.
Seal the bag,
uh-huh.
and immerse it in boiling water in a basket.
In a basket, yeah.
They were using the same equipment, kosher and non-kosher.
That they used for the Esrik?
They were using briskets, you hear?
Brisket.
Listen, okay?
Yeah.
Somebody came in and they started to scream my father because he allowed it.
Yeah.
My father said, my brother Moshe, ask your Rebbe, my brother Shatskis.
Yeah.
The Shiloh,
right?
What's the problem? But the problem was when you take the meat out of that bag, you put a thermometer in, there's no change in the temperature. So I saw, wait, Ashatsky says you deal with Metzias,
right?
Okay, he says if there's no change in the temperature, the meat was put into a bag, sealed, and it goes into hot water. The hot water had no effect upon the meat,
right?
He said it's kosher.
Okay.
What do you think people threw at him?
No. So therefore, he said you have to deal with Metzias. Okay. Here you have days. He says if it's more than 12 months, whatever it is. But what happens if there's no change? You could prove scientifically whatever it is that there's no change. Why should the date have an effect upon it?
Right.
One man the other says a year means old.
Yeah.
So in other words, you have to say it's either the date that makes it possible or the Metzias makes it possible.
Okay. It's very excellent question. Mitch Masechtas Chulin. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to deal with these types of shaylos. But getting back to our Gemara, which is talking more about sukkis and less about the meat, let's try to get to the meat of the situation, exactly. Let's try to have a meeting of the minds. The point is that it says legabe esrig that if it's yovesh or yoshen is possible. What's my yovesh or yoshen? Sishen oskitriket. It is dry. What means it's dry? It has lost its lachus. It's lost its moisture. That you try to squeeze a little juice out of it, garnish mit garnish, it is now dry and dry and dry. Then it happens to be possible. Getting back to our Gemara, Frank Gemara, Vileboi Hodr, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda does not require Hodr, but Natanan, we have a Mishnah later on, Hayora Kikarsi, if the Esrig is green like green karsi, a type of grass, a type of lettuce or whatever.
So it's leek.
A leek, otazoi. The mayor, Machshir Meir, says it's kosher, Rabbi Yehuda poison, says it's possible. Now, why do you think Rabbi Yehuda possible? Lamishim de boy hover? Because he says, Ashena Esrig is a nice yellow Esrig, not a green Esrig, and therefore I see does need hidur. He says, because it's premature, it's not ripe yet. You have to have a ripe Esrig, you can't have a. That's the reason. Nothing to do with hidur. Toshima, let me ask you another question. We have a later Mishnah. Shear Esrik cotton. What's the minimum shear of an Esrik? How small? The Meir Oymik Egris. As long as it's large enough, like a nut. Some say an Egris means a walnut. As long as it's such a size, it's Shankush. Yehuda Oymik, come on, give me a break. Kebe has got to be at least as large as a Toyash. Toyash means as an egg. Oh, if it's as large as an egg, then it's kosher. Now, let me ask you, where did Torah say anything about the size of an egg or size of an egg? It doesn't say anything. Well, here the Gemara is saying it's not al-tosh mishina. That's right, Gemara. La mishim deboi hodar. Isn't the reason because if you want to go and show off a beautiful esrig, if it's so small that you can't even see it, it's as small as an egg, guys, and the size of an esrig, ash, mata, I wouldn't buy that esrig for $1 million.
It's an egg.
I'm sorry?
It's an egg.
It's eggs. X worth. Aha. Okay. Shkayach. And therefore, it's X worth. Zot Yemara, loy. That's not the reason. I'll see the Mishnah Lekoma Peir. He said, if it's so small, means it's still premature. It's not an S, it's not a ripened pre. It's got a pre. It's not even pre. It's a pre. It's before the Ata Zechivis. Toshima. Oh, big God. Now, what happens if it's the other way around? The maximum size. The maximum is that you can hold two in one hand. You can even have one as large as a watermelon, but at least a cantaloupe that requires two hands, that's also kosher. Now the question is, why did Rabbi Yehuda require that it should be smaller than this large share of Rabbi Yossi? My time, I'm ashamed to be harder, because he feels that if it's going to be so large, like a watermelon, you're going to bring it to shul and ask like a watermelon. Adds on this katam that.
Shane has to do with what people are expecting.
Exactly.
So if it's something crazy, it's a good
shame. Exactly. It's a harai, yeah.
Rabbi Kiva had a big extra one time.
We're going to make sure we still have another 30 blood to go. We're not finished yet.
A number of years ago, they had these Moroccan.
I'm rocking this right now.
Chitaka needed two hands.
Getting it. People would say, give me a hand. Anyway, Sigmar continues on. Zotimar loy, not because of Hidur. Even the Omer Rabba, Rabba Lula be min the Esrig besmart. Zim mechalfi levi oslef ochino voslef sule. Oh, that's the reason. So the Gemara is saying now that the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda is being very, very practical. Well, how's he being practical? Because we know that you have to take the lulav in the right hand. Why do you take the lulav in the right hand? The Esrig is worth much more than the other three minim combined, as we know. But nevertheless, says Rashi, because of the four minim, this is three out of four. You got the roiv. Three, so therefore, at more chashivas, you take that in the right hand. The ass you can go and take in the left hand. But as we know, from time to time, the mechavile, as the person is picking up, sometimes he puts it in reverse, especially if you're handing it to somebody else. So he takes it the right hand, the left hand, and svet and gamze for the right. Okay, so now he has to go and reverse it. Right, if he's holding the esrig in the right hand and the other three men in the left hand, he has to reverse it. Now, if he has a table there, or if he has somebody else that he can do it with, wonderful. But many people, they don't have the table, they don't have the passage to ask somebody else, so he's going to go and try to reverse it on his own. If you reverse on your own, you got to be careful. Chas has shown that the esrig doesn't fall down, the pritim breaks, and everybody will be quite upset. So, what is he going to do? He's going to, on his own, try to move the two. Zokti Yimara, Zilman de Machalfile, sometimes he's going to have it in reverse, the esrig in the right hand. He's going to want to go and put it properly with a lulav in the right hand. And if he's not careful, the whole thing can go and fall. So the point is, if the esrig that you are holding is small enough that you can go and manage having both the lulav and the esrig in one hand at a split moment, so it's not going to fall. Because worse comes to worse, even if the left hand is tied down, so to speak, if he has both the esrig and the lulav in one hand, and he can hold both of them, and many of us, you'll see when people are walking around the bima, they do that, they're holding the siddur in one hand. Whether or not that is proper, that's a separate halachic issue, but the point is that if the esrig is small enough, you can do that. But if you have a large esrig, you can't do that. And if you're going to try to hold both with one hand, what's going to happen? It's likely that it's going to go and fall. That's why make sure that the esrig that you take is small enough that you can take two esrogim in one hand, meaning parenthetically, or an esrig and the lulav bundle in one hand. So therefore, it has nothing to do with hidur. It has to do with practicality, that we don't want chas v'shalom to go and fall on the floor and to break. Uh-huh. If you look quickly at the Rashi, the second line at the top, Kim the Amarabba Esrig Bismoy Balula Bayamin, Mishun the Hochat Las Mitzvois, he have three mitzvahs, the Esrig Chad Mitzvah, the Zimn the Machalfin Lay, Shinoisin Lay Esrig Bayamin, Balula Bismoy. Sometimes you ask someone, can I borrow your Lulav and Esrig, which from the second day and on is not, or at least from the Cholamoid is not a problem, or give him a Tanam and Aslahachsir, so he hands it over to him, but he puts it in the wrong hand, the Tzorch Lahavcha Miyad Biyad, and he has to go and switch it from one hand to the other, the Lechoiso Esrig Valulav Biachas Miyad. Sometimes it turns out that he's holding both of them in one hand. In other words, he has already the esrig in the right hand. So he takes the lulav and puts it now in the right hand. Because he can't easily go and exchange from one hand to the other, right? Unless you can juggle. But otherwise, how do you get the esrog to the left hand, since the left hand already has the lulav in it? It's already full. So you got to go and put the lulav, the mushel, in the right hand together with the esrog, and then extricate the esrog from the right hand and put it in the left hand. But during that extrication process, something can go and fall. Therefore, Zokt Rashi, Achi Achlev, you have a godel yoisim idai, if the esrog is too big, Shemi Yipo Miyadav, the yafsil shiara by neck, if it's going to get a hole, it's going to lose its bittim, etc. Therefore, says next Rashi, Shnai biyodei achas kersinin, beis esrogin biyodei achas, shibim koimu echod, yoiches halulav kishi hafchon. When the Gemara uses the expression two esrogim, it means because the diameter of the average esrog will be the diameter of the average lulav together with the other two minim attached together with it. So that's why he gives such a shear of two esrogim. But he really means the shear of a esrog together with a lulav bundle that you can hold them both in one hat. Anyway, Lamaisa, what do I see? We asked a whole bunch of questions. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda require an esrog be hadar? The answer is no. He doesn't require it to be hadar. Frek Yemara, he can argue with the Ala Brisa, but he can't argue with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Torah. But Rabbi Yehuda ksiv hadar shteitach creates hadar. Don't we know what hadar means? Hadar means it's beautiful. Tell me, he doesn't need it. Hadar could even be a yoshen mit a yovesh. Everything more, who hadar be lonim ishana lishana. V'yetshem and daf lamed hey, we're going to have three or four different pshatim in the word hadar. Normally, of course, we teach hadar to mean beautiful. However, there's another teach that hadar means hadar. Hadar means that it stays on the tree from year to year. What do you mean it stays on the tree? Any of you that ever have seen an orchard of either apples or oranges or other types of fruit, you'll notice that after they ripen, shortly thereafter they're going to fall down. They don't stay on the tree forever. They all fall down eventually, especially if you have the fruit trees in the country. You come after the season, you see that all the fruit on the... Who put all the fruit on the ground? Kodesh Baruch Hu meant that after the year is over, they all fall down, and then, of course, a new crop grows. However, by Yisroigim, if you just leave them there and you don't touch, it could stay there for 2 years and 3 years, and they don't automatically fall off and fall on
they
the ground.
Hador
l'dor. Hador l'dor. Anyway, so bottom line is, Hador Bilona, that's how he understands the word Hador. That's how
some
he knows it's an
esrog. Say that's the name of that tree.
It's a hadar tree. Very good. Okay. Lamaisa, there are other explanations as well on Daf Lamed Hey. And in fact, Toysa says, Lav Dafka, this drasha could be learned like other drashas that Gemara is going to have on Lamed Hey, that hadar has other interpretations. But we started off with that Rava holds that there's a machloikis legabe lulav between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda where the Yovesh is possible, but everybody agrees legabe esrog that it has to be hadar. Says the Gemara, Rava is wrong, tiyufta, that Rabbi Yehuda holds even by an esrog it does not have to be hadar, it can even be yoshan and yovesh and it's still kosher. Next Gemara. It says in the Mishnah, Shalash Sheba Shalini Dachas is possible. Freitim of Shalash Sheba Apostle. From a Rava, Lulav Shalavoy Dezara, Lo Yitoil. Don't take a Lulav from Avodah Zarah. Now, what's a lulav Avodah Zarah? So Rashi has two explanations over here. Rashi in the middle of the Amud, lulav shel Avodah Zarah. Sheshimshu boi l'Avodah Zarah l'chabe l'faneo karka. In other words, in front of the Avodah Zarah, in front of the statue, the dust would go and settle. And unfortunately, the idol didn't have enough koyach to go and blow it away. So shen alta alta Avodah Zarah, hachinishka koyach, avek some blues in the shtoib. So they had to go and take a broom. So what did they take as a broom? They took a lulav. After all, by the goyim, they have the palm Sundays. What's even their palms? They use it to go and take away the schmutz in front of the avodah zarah, the chabal lefaneh karka. Inami shavaydusa v'lulav lahaviroi lefaneha oy lezor kabay. That was the avodah of this avodah zarah. Just like you know, by the markoilin, they used to go and throw stones. Here, people they made an announcement: those who live in glass houses shouldn't go and throw stones. So they threw lulavim. They threw lulavim at the avodah zarah and medem, and the one that hit the bullseye on the nose, he got the biggest prize. That was the Gresta Oivet from the Avodah Zarah.
I think the rabbis still do it. They throw stone at the Kaaba.
And they throw it at the Yidin Nebuch. But anyway, beginning back to Agi Mura, so Gemara says that if you have such a lulav Avodah Zarah, lo yital, don't take it. It's mo'us, and it's Avodah Zarah, and we're tarnished. Oh, if you took it in Nopal, but yeah, if you took it, it's kosher. It's not mitzvah min amuvchar. This mitzvah kind of smells. It has a zareach, but lamaisa you are yoitzer. Now, what's the reason why yoitzer? Explains Rashi. Because even though anything having to do with avodah zarah is aser bahano, but we have a famous halacha when it comes to mitzvahs. The mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So if it's not a problem, so you can go and use. Not lechatchila, but tzmoos legevoyah zot Rashi, but b'diavad yoytze. So, Bazoi, why does it say in our Mishnah that it's possible you're not even yoytze b'diavad? Everything we're talking about shira de moishes kinin. Here we're not talking about an asherah from today, in other words, like a kratzmach tree, but we're talking about the asherah of Moshe Rabbeinu's time. So what's it by Moshe Rabbeinu's time? V'ashteitach in the Torah numerous times, v'ashereyem tisrafun bo'esh, that there's a mitzvah to go and burn all of these asherah in fire. And we know there's always a famous klal, kol oimed l'des es k'des dami, so kol oimed l'sreif k'sarav dami. So it's as if this whole this asherah tree, together with anything on this asherah tree, is destined for burning. If it's destined for burning, it's as if it's already burned. So therefore, if you have a lulav that comes from such an asherah tree, since it's mechuyev to be burned, it's already burned. And we know by lulav we had the other day in the Gemara, it has to have a minimum shear of how many tvachim?
Four tvachim.
So therefore, if it's burned, you don't have the four tvachim. You don't even have three tvachim. It's ksusi mechta shiurai, and therefore that's why it's not kosher. Dekinami d'toni chatakerai, d'irni dachas, because irni dachas, it says in the pasuk, v'es koshlola tisrei besoich rechoiva, you have to go and burn everything. Oh, anything which is destined for burning is as if kitsarav dami, ksusi mechta shiurai, shmami, no, that's the reason why it's possible. Mashenkein, this broom for that boy de Zara, there's no din of Sreifa. In fact, we get Mishim to Mesechtas of Eidazar as a Machloikis, but we're going according to the Mandiyama that holds that it's Ligniza. You don't have to burn it, you only have to go and bury it, just don't use it, put it away. So therefore, you have no Kasha if you use this Lush of Eidazar, if you have not Lush Kusha, because there is no din of the Ksusi Mechtas Shurei, because the Gemara holds it's not. Exactly, Nikvorim and not from the Nisraf. Okay, we'll stop over here.